Our Bible reading is from the New Testament book of John. From chapter 20, we'll read verses 19 through 31. In the New King James Version Pew Bible, we're on page 1546. Before we read, let us pray. Speak, Lord, for your servants listen. Amen. John 20, 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When Jesus had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when Jesus had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So Thomas said to them, "Unless I see in Jesus' hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, Jesus' disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace to you." Then Jesus said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. Did you say something you wish you hadn't? Did you speak too quickly and now you regret your impulsive response? Are you concerned that your words are going to reach ears that you don't want them to reach? Are you worried that your comments are going to push a situation into an awkward or potentially destructive direction? Writer and Bible teacher Kay Arthur wrote those words in her book, "Search My Heart, O God." She goes on to say, "I understand it is painful to face the consequences of our shortcomings, isn't it? Once something is said, we can't take it back. Our words are out there, for good or bad. Personally, situations like this make me want to fall on my face before God, plead for forgiveness, and ask God to help me to learn to control my tongue." I wonder if Thomas had any such thoughts. Did he speak too quickly? Did he now worry that his words might somehow reach Jesus? Did he have any regrets? Thomas was the disciple that when the disciples thought that their lives were endangered, that Thomas was willing to lay down his life. In John 11, Jesus had put off going to see his sick friend Lazarus. And Lazarus' sisters, Mary and Martha, had sent for Jesus saying, "Lord, the one whom you love is sick." But Jesus stayed where he was for 2 more days. Suddenly Jesus announced, "Let us go to Judea." The disciples remind Jesus, "Rabbi, the Jews sought to stone you and you're going there again?" Perhaps they thought that Jesus had delayed going because he was fearful of the Jews. But Jesus said, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but now I go that I may wake him up." Well, the disciples say, "Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get well." But Jesus did not speak of the restful, healing sleep, but he spoke of sleeping and death. And Jesus said plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad that I was not there for your sakes, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to Lazarus." Well, Thomas said to his fellow disciples, "Let us go also, that we may die with Jesus." Thomas was willing to lay down his life with Jesus. Of course, Jesus does not die at that time, but he raises Lazarus from the dead that God might be glorified through it. Thomas is there in John 14 when Jesus encourages his disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in me. I go to prepare a place for you. I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Jesus says, "You know where I go and you know the way." Well, Thomas speaks up and he says, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. And how can we know the way?" And Jesus said to Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The unthinkable happens. Jesus is crucified, hung on a cross. His dead body is placed in the tomb and sealed shut. Early the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Salome, Mary, and other women go to the tomb. They rush back to the disciples with the good news that Jesus is not in the tomb. Men in shining garments say that he has risen. That same day at evening, they were fearful of the Jews, so they're inside with the doors shut, and Jesus appears to them. And Jesus says, peace be with you. And he shows them his hands and his side. And the disciples are glad when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus says, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I send you. And then he breathed on them, receive the Holy Spirit. Well, Thomas was not there when Jesus appeared. Though he's heard now the testimony from the women and from his disciples, friends, Thomas will not believe. Does he harden his heart a little? What makes him insist on personal, tangible evidence? What makes him doubt? Thomas said, unless I see in the Lord's hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Thomas emphatically insists on three proofs. First, he wants to see Jesus in the print of the nails, and then he wants to put his finger into the print of the nails, and then third, he wants to put his hand into Jesus' pierced side. The other disciples saw Jesus' hands and side, but Thomas wants to touch. You can't touch a spirit. Good or bad, Thomas's words are out there, and his words reach Jesus. 8 days go by, full week. The next Sunday, Jesus' disciples were again inside. This time, Thomas is with them. And Jesus came, the door being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace to you. Apparently, Jesus looked at Thomas and moved closer to him. And Jesus said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered Jesus, my Lord and my God. I've always taken great comfort in that Jesus came to Thomas in his doubt. Jesus wants us to believe. Peter Calagari wrote the Upper Room Daily Devotional reading for this past Wednesday, April the 23rd. And Peter wrote, in 1971, I was 19 years old, wandering the country and trying to figure out life. One day I hitchhiked and found myself at a rest stop along a lonely stretch of desert highway between Los Angeles, California and Phoenix, Arizona. I had moved out on my own at the age of 17, in part because my parents seemed more confused about life than I was. That began a journey which took me 3,000 miles from home to that highway rest stop. The next morning, I met a carload of young people who invited me to church for Easter worship. On an ordinary day, it would have taken a miracle to break through my fears and excuses. With the promise of a free meal after church, I eagerly agreed to go. Their church was different than anything I expected. Young people filled the space, singing with smiles that showed me that they knew something about Easter that I didn't know. More importantly, for the first time, I considered that God might be real and actually care about me. I had been running all my life. Now I couldn't run anymore. It took an amazing chain of miracles to bring me to God. But it was Easter, and on Easter, miracles happen. And miracles do happen on Easter. They happen 8 days later, and they happen every day. Where did God find you and bring you to know Jesus? Lee Strobel didn't believe in God. He certainly did not believe in the resurrection of Jesus. Lee was a journalist with an analytical mind. When his wife believed in Jesus, he noticed a change in her. He decided to study her new faith for himself. After 2 years of research, he gave in to God, to the resurrection, to faith in Jesus Christ. The change in Lee was noticeable. So after a few months, his 5-year-old daughter said to his wife, Mommy, I want God to do for me what he's done for Daddy. The daughter put her faith in Jesus too. The best evidence for the resurrection is changed lives. In Colossians 3:1, the Apostle Paul reminds, you were raised with Christ. Furthermore, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also appear with him in glory. In his book, 12 Ordinary Men, Bible teacher and pastor John MacArthur writes this about Thomas. In his day, Thomas was nicknamed Didymus, which means the twin. Apparently, he had a twin brother or sister, but his twin is never identified in Scripture. In our day, he's usually nicknamed Doubting Thomas. But that may not be the most fitting label for him. Now, it is probably fair to say that Thomas was a somewhat negative person. He was a worrywart, a brooder, anxious. He was like Eeyore in Winnie the Pooh. He anticipated the worst at all times. Pessimism, rather than doubt, seems to have been his besetting sin. He looked into the dark corners of life. Let us go with Jesus, he said. If he's going to die, we'll die too. How can we follow? We don't know the way. When Jesus first showed up, Thomas missed the whole thing. Why wasn't he there? It is possible that he was so pessimistic, so absolutely destroyed, he was probably off somewhere wallowing in his own misery. His worst fear had been realized. Jesus was gone. He wasn't convinced that he knew the way. He may well have felt alone, betrayed, rejected, or forsaken. His heart was torn out. He was not in a mood to socialize. He just wanted to be alone. He didn't even want to be with his friends. When they tried to tell him that Jesus had come, Thomas was not buying it. Nope, not believing it. Thomas did begin to hang out with his disciple friends again. So perhaps there was a glimmer of hope. And Jesus shows up for Thomas. Jesus was gentle with Thomas. See, look, reach your hand here, touch there. Then Thomas made what was probably the greatest statement ever to come from the lips of the apostles. My Lord and my God. Let those who question the deity of Christ meet Thomas. Thomas' melancholy, comfortless, negative, moody tendencies were banished by the appearance of Jesus. Thomas was transformed into a great evangelist. A short time later at Pentecost, along with the other apostles, he's filled with the Holy Spirit and empowered for ministry. He, like his comrades, took the gospel to the ends of the earth. There is a considerable amount of ancient testimony that suggests that Thomas carried the gospel as far as India. There is to this day a small hill near an airport in India where Thomas is said to have been buried. There are churches in South India whose roots are traceable to the beginning of the church age, and tradition says that they were founded under the ministry of Thomas. The strongest tradition says that he was martyred for his faith. He was slain with a spear. God can use anyone. Personality, status, family, backgrounds are immaterial. The one thing all of Jesus' followers had in common was that they were willing to acknowledge their own sinfulness and look to Christ for grace. God meets us all with grace and mercy and forgiveness, and transforms lives into lives that can glorify God. He does that for all who will truly trust him. In their book, Experiencing the Power of the Resurrection, Henry and Melvin Blackaby write, if there were only the cross, sin would win. The resurrection is proof of Christ's victory over sin and our hope of salvation. It's not a doctrine to be studied. It is an invitation to experience the living Christ in your life. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for our sins and being raised from the dead to life. Help us believe and to live in the power of a living God. Amen.